My name is Jim. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, in recovery for internet pornography, as well as codependence. And I want to thank you for being here tonight. All right. So Jeff is going around with pens if you need something to write with, if you're one of the back tables and you don't have the program for tonight. The good news is, for those of you that don't like acrostics, there's no acrostic tonight. The bad news for those that like it is there's no acrostic. Okay, so I want to begin a little bit in reminding last week. So tonight we're doing lesson number 9. And for those of you that are new, later on we'll direct you to Celebrate Recovery 101. That'll give you an orientation on what we do. But I'll give you a little sneak peek. Every other week we teach lessons. Now, for those that were paying attention, actually we're doing 2 in a row, but that's because we did 2 testimonies in a row. But we'll get back to our normal rotation. Anyhow, the lessons build through the program guide that you would do in a step study. So we take those lessons from it. There's 26 of them. We go through this cycle every year. And so we're on to lesson 9. Last week in lesson 8, Jeff covered moral inventory. And so I'll do part 2 of moral inventory. But just to give you a refresh on the key, I'll give you the acrostic from last time, which was moral. So first, make time. So just as a reminder, setting aside some time to do an inventory where you actually take pen to paper and do some writing. Second, be open. Be open to what God wants to reveal to you and be honest. And through Christ, we can do that. And then R is rely on God to open your mind and your heart to those things that need healing. And then A is analyze, take some time to look at it. What has been the effect of resentments that I've held on and hurts that I've hung on to? And then finally, list, create a list of what those things are. So if you look at tonight's program guide in the middle, you'll see a table, let's see where I put it here, that has the 5 areas that we'll cover. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a little small for me to write out what those are. So this is just for tonight's lesson, but if you have the guide for lesson number 9, page, I'll get it here, 30 and 31, is a 2-pager and it's columns and it's the same things that you see here in the table. One other thing I would also offer is some of us have a spreadsheet that covers those. So if you prefer to type, move cells around and try to reorganize your thoughts, that's what I did the last time, found it very helpful. Let us know and we can get you that spreadsheet. The important thing really is that you find whatever tool you need to start this step and to do this step. So let me first cover a few topics. First, let's cover principle 4, which is, and say it with me, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the scripture, there we go. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. I could tell someone in the front row knew where that scripture came from, so that was good. I heard Lamentations starting. All right. So first, with inventory, Ephesians 4:31 tells us, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So if your inventory is anything like mine, it'll take more than a single page to spell it out, okay? So you have complete permission to photocopy this section of the book for as many pages as it takes. You can use blank sheets of paper. Again, I think for many of us, and I know this was true for me, and I've done this more than once, but the very first time, it was really difficult to get started. And part of my hurts and habits and hang-ups as a codependent person is I don't want to get it wrong, right? So sometimes the fear of getting it wrong creates a barrier that doesn't allow me to start. So I'd say no one has to look at the first draft, right? No one will look at the first draft. It's yours. So just write. Just take the time and start in whichever column makes the most sense, but I'm going to cover them left to right. And we'll step through that. So the first column says the person. And this column lists the person or the object you resent or fear. Go back as far as you can to your earliest memories. Start there. And the thing to keep in mind is a resentment is mostly unexpressed anger or fear. So when I think of some of the resentments that I've held over the years, someone hurt me at some point in time, and this part about fear, what if I let go of that? Could they hurt me again, right? Sometimes that kind of plays in your head. But the truth is, there was a teaching last year that I thought this was a good visual for me, is when we're holding on to resentment and not willing to forgive, and it was Jack's lesson that I remember, it's like a tug of war where I'm holding on one end of the rope and the person that hurt me is on the other end, and I'm waiting for them to let go first. But in the meantime, I'm wearing myself out in this tug of war, and I can just let go of the rope and walk away, and then I'm no longer tethered to that resentment, that hurt that happened to me. So this one's important. So again, take some time in column one. Who's the person, the object that caused this? Try to remember to list all of the people and things that you hold resentment against. For myself, it goes back to some things with my parents, some extended relatives, later on in life, some relationships I had, some friendships that I had. Kind of, they got a chance to pile up. So take the time to create an exhaustive list. Then we move over to column two, the cause. In this, you're going to list the specific actions that someone did to hurt you. What did the person do that caused you resentment or fear? One example might be an alcoholic father who was emotionally unavailable as you were growing up. So I'll give kind of personal example from my life. So the person was my mom, and what was the event, the action? Explosive anger towards me from kind of my youngest age. And it wasn't just me. My other siblings were sometimes also the target of that. So that was the actual thing. I could close a door too loud, something could be a trigger, and then I would get disproportionate anger and yelling. So that's an example of a cause of a hurt. Now this can be painful as you start to go back through time and look at those things that caused you hurt. And so that's why it's really important to have a sponsor and an accountability team around you. So if you're new or if you've been in the program but don't yet have a sponsor, people with these name badges on have been through some training, and they've also been through a step study and done the program. So they're good candidates for sponsors. A lot of times people say, well, how do I pick one? Well, it's kind of ideal if you pick someone you relate well to. They got to be the same gender as you, so for, in my case, another man. And often it's helpful if their issue that they're working on overcoming and have some sobriety in is the area that you struggle in. It's not absolutely necessary, but there's some relatability that can happen there, as well as some, Jim, I struggled with that for this long, and here's what I finally had to do, and I might find that very useful for myself. But more importantly, they've been down the path. They have compassion for you. They have complete empathy for you. They'll be praying for you. Very, very powerful. And you can't discount that at all, the power of that prayer, because God will work healing through our vulnerability and through us being willing to examine these hurts and offer them to God for healing. God promises in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's a promise we can stand on as we go through this. And column number three is the effect. What effect did that action have on my life? Write down how that specific hurtful action affected your life, both in the past and in the present. For myself, it became trying to read the situation so I could avoid the trigger, right? So it really has caused a level of codependence of, okay, I'll be whatever you need me to be so that I can avoid this painful reaction. And what the effect is for me is, well, it's actually kind of the damage. So I'm bleeding over into that next column, is that I often don't know myself very well. I am so busy trying to figure out what the other person wants or needs so that I can have a positive reaction that I really don't know what it is inside me that I want or need at this point in time, and so I don't articulate it, which is unfair to the other person. It's caused me lots of challenges in my marriage when I really can't represent myself because those things tend to manifest in blame. I'll blame that. It's got to be the other person's fault. And then later, resentment. All right, so column four, and I talked briefly about this, the damage. Which of your basic instincts were injured? Was it social? Have you suffered from broken relationships, slander, gossip? Was it security? Has your physical safety been threatened? Have you faced financial loss? Has it been sexual? Have you been a victim in an abusive relationship? Has intimacy or trust been damaged or broken? Remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, I will look for those that are lost, bring back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick. All right, and column five, my part. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. One of the things for me that's been important in this step is let's examine our ways, my ways. Not my mom's, not my brother, not my wife, not my kids. And that's the easy thing to do is to talk about other people and what's going on, what they've done. But really, what's my part? A key thing in this one that I'm going to jump to and then I'll come back. If you've been in an abusive relationship, especially as a small child, you can find great freedom in this part of the inventory. You see, you had no part and no responsibility for the cause of the resentment. By simply writing the words none or not guilty in column five, you can begin to be free of the misplaced shame and guilt that you've carried with you. This is very important. Whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, those things haunt us. And the lie that we get told is we did something. Something caused it. No. You were purely a victim. And so in this you get a line on this and you outline that, the person and the hurt and what they caused, you had no part in that. So please, I want to really emphasize that. But for the rest of us, like myself, where I did actually have a part, what it's manifest, because I look at column five, what part of the resentment am I responsible for? Who are the people I have hurt, and how have I hurt them? Those are the three questions that we answer here. So the first one is, what part of the resentment am I responsible for? Well, for one thing, for the longest time, I held a resentment for my mom for this unfair, if you will, reaction. I later learned that she had suffered abuse and she hadn't dealt with it. And so, that explosiveness was from her resentments that she held, the things, the kind of abuse that she suffered that she blamed herself for. That she kept things bottled up until there was just that final straw that it had to come out, right? And as a kid, sometimes I was that straw. But she hadn't yet had a chance to go through the healing. That didn't happen for her until I was in college. So in the meantime, I got some of the consequence of that. Well, I needed to let go of that so that it wouldn't continue to play on in my life and continue to act out in that. So for me, getting to a point of bringing it to prayer with God, that's kind of the first step that I needed to own. You know, because sometimes it's just like, I just can't get there. I keep trying on my own, and I can't get there. So going to God in prayer and just saying, I need your help. I want to forgive. I don't feel it. So I'm going to start to act on it, and you help the feeling come along at some point down the road, right? And later, write it out. Write out, I forgive you as a starting point. Who are the people I've hurt? So in this, I alluded to it earlier, but I'll use my wife as an example. So she's one that's been hurt because I held onto this resentment and then I act out of that. How do I do that? Well, I'm not honest with her on representing myself. I'm kind of like, well, what do you want to hear? I'll tell you what you want to hear. And then later on, I resent her for it. Well, she did nothing to deserve that. I didn't tell her what my needs were or what my wants or desires were. And so that's how that hurt manifests coming from me to another person. So then I owed going back and making amends to her for those times. So in myself, a couple of things that I took in those steps in recovery, first getting all this written out. But with her, I've said, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this way, right? And so giving her permission to point out and ask me questions sometimes, is that really how you feel, or are you just telling me what I want to hear? Well, okay, hang on. I told you could ask me that, so let me think about it. And what that does is over time, sometimes it's after the fact I think about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I wasn't real honest with that. Not necessarily intentionally dishonest, but I wasn't. And so going back and correcting that, then over time I kind of notice in the situation that I'm doing it. And so I can stop myself. And the more I practice that, the better before the thought manifests itself in my words or my actions, I can interrupt it. And that's part of that healing process that God can do. All right, so, the other thing that is really key that I love about the Celebrate Recovery program and with inventory. So before I came to Celebrate Recovery, I had participated in Al-Anon. And it was a good program, good to do my 12 steps there. But I don't remember, maybe I wasn't paying attention, and I'll have to put that out there, but balancing my inventory with the good. See, and that's the thing that Jeff talked about last week, and that's the thing that I almost forgot about this week. So this side is what are my resentments, what happened, you know, the part we talked through. On the back side are what are the good things that I did? And go back early in time and think of the good that's happened in your life and the good that you've brought into other people's life. And one that I remember, and then I remember stories being told about, I was 5 years old, and I was an adventuresome young guy, and I was also one that didn't like to sit still. And so down the street from us lived an elderly couple. So I'd go, I don't know if I even asked permission, but I'd leave the house, and I'd go down and ring their doorbell, and the elderly lady would answer, and I would say, can your son come out and play? I was actually talking about her husband. And they would invite me in if it was a rainy day, and we did beeswax candles and finger painting and baked cookies, and they were like grandparents to me. And I was just this little kid that loved people and wanted to play. And during the middle of the day when my siblings were off at school, there was no one to play with, but there was a retired couple down the street that were willing to play with me, right? So that's an example of an early memory of positive that you might have had in other people's lives. So always balance that inventory. I challenge you that for every negative that you put down, that you can do a corresponding positive. And it's okay if the positive list is even longer, right? But we often will want to beat ourselves up for our shortcomings, but not necessarily acknowledge the places that God has done good in our lives and that we've been an instrument of that as well. All right. So let me give you 5 tools to help you for your inventory. First, if you can, memorize Isaiah 1:18. Which says, come, let's talk this over. says the Lord, no matter how deep the stains of your sins, I can take out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. 2, read the Balancing the Scales on page 29 of the Participant Guide, which is have the positive with the negative. 3, keep your inventory balanced. It's very important. As God reveals the good things that you've done in the past or are doing in the present, list them on the reverse side of your copies of the Principle 4 inventory worksheet. 4, continue to develop your support team. The Wednesday night group that you go to here is a big help. Step study group is another good support team. You might have men or women at church that are good support for you. And 5, pray continuously. Don't wait to start your inventory. Don't let obstacles stand in your way. If you don't have a sponsor, talk to someone tonight. If you need a participant's guide, pick one up at the information table in the back. Set a time and place and get started. You can do it. Let's take a moment and pray. Loving God, we thank you for your wonderful mercy and love for us, your loving heart that wants healing and wholeness for each and every one of us. Give us the courage and strength to open up those areas of our lives that need examination and that need healing, and help us to let go of our fears and our resentments and our anger so that you can work a miracle in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.